And the title of today's message is Thorns, a New Heart. One of the things that amazes me as being a Christian is that when we are born again, the Bible describes it as us being born of the Spirit. We all know what it's like to be born of the flesh, meaning that we came into this earth spiritually dead in need of a new birth to come. And when we are born again, we are born of the Spirit. And one of the things that this study has focused in on is looking at the life of Paul and the struggle that he pronounced about the thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh that he wanted it to dissipate, to go away, but it remained. Our flesh is vulnerable to the thorns of this life. If we could write chapters and stories of all that we've been through in our collective lives here, thorns would be seen in multiple ways. For life is not easy, and the thorns that come against us will try, they try their best to penetrate to that new heart that we have. We must understand our true condition to be able to handle this thing called life. And I want to just show you something here. These are two tools that are represented here today. One is a very common thing, and y'all, I'm not trying to act like Michael Jackson today, I promise, with these gloves. But everyone's familiar with gloves, right? And hopefully today maybe some people had some. But this is just a basic glove. There's nothing special about it. It's very vulnerable to knives and thorns. But this one here, is made out of stainless steel. And it is a heavy-duty chef's or butcher's glove to guard the hand from being what? Being cut. And this isn't a thorn, it's a knife. But when you're busy working in the kitchen and this happens, that ever happened to you? It's not a fun experience. And not only do we sometimes let the blade cross us, sometimes I've even gotten the sharp end of it. But if you wear one of these, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, you should still be thinking about it, but it's designed to guard the hand and to keep the cuts and the pain away. It's stainless steel mesh. And one of the things in our lives, if we trust in this, we're going to be extremely vulnerable. If this is our protection and how we cope, the thorns are going to have a heyday. Because in the Bible, it makes it clear that there are thorns of the flesh that are going to come, but they will not penetrate the new heart that Christ has given us. And I want us to look at this next scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this. Therefore, if anyone is in, say that with me, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. behold, the new has come. Being born again is being born of the Spirit, and in being born again, we realize that we have a new nature inside. Thorns will pierce the flesh, but not the spirit. Now we know this, thorns are going to come, and they're going to press and pressure the new heart. But it is impossible for the thorns to cut through and penetrate that new heart that Christ has given us. Then the question arises, well, why do I know so many people that have received a new heart and then they turn away and the thorns take them? The new heart was not the problem. The flesh was inundated with the pains of this life, and instead of relying on the strength that God offered, people turned to what they trusted in the most, which was the flesh. And the flesh will always fail us, but the Spirit will never fail us. In Acts, at the very beginning of the church, when Peter, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stepped out on the streets and began to preach a message. Peter replied to those that were gathered around, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter made it really clear, unless we identify with our flesh and know that it is built in sin and it will only gravitate and move in sin, we need to turn from that sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our spirit now alive within us because the Spirit of God has entered our lives. Because we have trusted in Jesus, we have recognized our sin condition, and we've turned from sin, we repented of sin, and we choose not to walk in it any longer. Our spirit now is empowered by the Holy Spirit living within our new heart. Understanding our true condition is vital to handle the thorns in life. Knowing that no thorn can pierce our new heart. Thorns will press the new heart, but they cannot pierce the new heart. The thorns of this life have no power over our new heart. You ever given up because of thorns? You ever just set Jesus aside because of the pains of this life? We've all been guilty of struggling through the thorns and trying to manage them with our old heart. But the new heart prevails against every thorn that wars against it. The thorns of this life have no power over our new heart. We see again, 2 Corinthians 12:10. For when I am weak, I am strong. So it's acknowledging that in ourselves, we can't be where God wants us to be. We can't endure the way God wants us to endure in ourselves. Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Through him. God says, no matter what thorn comes against you, no matter what has pierced your flesh, you can endure and you will be okay if you will stand in him and allow his strength to live out in you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Thorns, the things not expected. Some of the things we may expect, but the ones that dig deep are the unexpected. Thorns are painful. Regardless if we have a new heart or not, thorns are painful. 2 Corinthians 12:10 tells us this. In Paul's proclamation about the thorns in the thorn in his flesh, as he had pled with the Lord to take it away, he moves forward and reminds us of this. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul takes us on a journey in how to deal with pain. Pain is a weapon that Satan will use against us. He will use pain to try to cause us to turn our backs or to turn our heart from God. Paul guides us in dealing with the pain of thorns. And we enter another school of Paul's. Paul's school of pain management. And I like to call it weakness 101. We become stronger by acknowledging our weaknesses. When thorns come, what are some common responses that we have? Some people, when thorns come in their lives, they'll just try to deny it's there. Others, it's avoidance. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's just pushed totally out of the process, but it's still there. Others allow the thorn to work its will and allow pain to develop all types of attitudes that are the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. Because again, thorns hurt. Pain is a weapon that will come against us. But no weapon that is formed against us, that is seated against us, will prosper as we walk in the strength of Christ. Not our strength. That's what I find so amazing here about Paul. It's like, it's not our strength. It's his strength in us. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Who wants a thorn? Not me. I don't want it. But guess what? They're coming. They're there. Want to pull them out? Can't. They still remain. 3 times I pled with the Lord about this thorn in the flesh, Paul says, that it should leave me. Why should it leave me? I'm Paul the Apostle. It hurts. God, take it away. Again, we don't know what Paul's thorn was, but evidently it was something that tried its best to bring Paul down. And one of the struggles that we have with our thorns, when they attach themselves to us, what are other people thinking? Why is this in me? What did I do to deserve this? You think Paul could have possibly been, here I am, the apostle, yet I'm walking around with this thorn. If I was as special as people are saying I am, shouldn't this be gone? Not the case. 3 times I pled with the Lord about this, that he should take it away. No one desires the pain of this life. Leave me, Paul says. What happens to us when the pain remains? What happened to Paul? Verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Whose grace? God's grace is sufficient. When God tells you something is sufficient, you better believe it's what? It is more than adequate. And then then we see this description here, for my power, God's power, is made perfect in weakness. Many claim to have the power of God. Many claim to have the power of God. But God's power is perfected in us through the thorns of this life. And it looks like this. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So if I want the power of God, I have to identify and pronounce my weakness. Because something amazing happens when we don't deny the thorns, when we don't deny our inadequacy. Something amazing happens. Why is God's power made perfect in weakness? Our weakness acknowledged invites God's power within. God never asked you to be Superman or Superwoman. Never asked you to be that. Never asked you to be someone that can handle it all yourself. Never did. You might have been brought up around a culture in your home that you just shrug it off and move on. You toughen up. Don't be weak. And those words that were, I want to say, seated so deeply in our hearts come back to us when life brings the thorns. But God has a different picture. When I recognize and I pronounce to God my weakness, I acknowledge it, and it's an invitation for his power to come and to place his strength in me. Something happens to those that deaden the pain through sources that were never intended by God. A lot of things can deaden the pain that the enemy will hand to us. And we better be careful about how we deaden the pain through resources that are not of God. Lord, this is where I'm at. These thorns hurt. These thorns are bringing pain. Take them away, God. Take them away. But what if he doesn't? Lord, as these thorns come, you have promised me that your grace is sufficient to hold me through all of these pains of this life. And in it, you have even told me that your power will be made perfect in my weakness. Come, let your power reign and live in me, Lord Jesus. See, our weakness draws us to God's greater strength. Again, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power is made perfect in us as we cry out and don't deny the thorns that have come. Don't deny the weaknesses that we have. God's power comes in our weaknesses, and it establishes perfectly applied power. Our weakness reminds us of the frailty and the failings of our flesh. refuse to trust in the flesh, it will always fail you. And I believe this. Every day we wake up with this old nature. And this can be that which we identify with. This can be that which we is our go-to. And the consequences of that is a strength that is of our own making. And it will not produce the things that are in God's heart for us. So when the thorns come and they penetrate the flesh, but they cannot penetrate the new heart that God has given us. They can press it, they can come against it, but they can't overcome it. So whatever it is that has attached itself to you as a thorn in the flesh, it is not greater than God who lives in you. So when that thorn comes, that weakness is acknowledged, may it be a reminder to us to walk in the strength of the new heart that God has given us. So whenever the thorns war against us, when they try to come and have their will to destroy our new heart, it's impossible, because that new heart was created by God, and it is a heart that stands against every thorn. Didn't say thorns weren't going to press it. Didn't say thorns were going to try to overcome it. What I'm saying this morning is that that new heart that Christ has given you is able to stand regardless of what is set against it. Again, our weakness reminds us of our frailty and the failings of our flesh. Our weakness leads us to rely fully on the power of the Spirit of God who lives within us. Who are you trusting in today? Do you have a new heart alive in you? It's like this. What God has entrusted to us, the gift, the promise, the Holy Spirit, He came not to be dormant. He came to grow us and enrich our lives each and every day. But maybe a thorn has come in the flesh and has caused us to not trust God like we once did. Maybe a thorn has come and penetrated, and we would like to see it totally gone, but it's still there, but it's coming against that new heart. And the pain is so intense that we have forgotten of the deposit of God's Spirit that is alive in us. As Hap made it so clear today, we get so distracted by this world. We get our eyes on everything other than God. You know, I saw this amazing documentary about creation, about what God has made. And it went in the study where the special camera could go down in the depths of the earth. I mean, excuse me, the depths of the sea, to places where man has hardly ever gone, if gone at all. And they took this little machine that would go down and a special camera that would illuminate all of these creations that God had made. And they had the special thing where they could bring that little robot over to where these sea creatures are. And it had a soft vacuum, and it would draw them in and deposit them in a container so they could lift it up to the surface. And it was amazing what God has made. Amazing the handiwork of God. But how can we be amazed of the fullness of God if we are not in tune with the Spirit that He has placed in us. Our flesh cannot perceive the glories that God has. Our flesh will cause us to be distracted from the power of God that is not only in us, but all around us. May we be in tune with the living Spirit of God that is in our hearts, the new heart. And may we trust and invest in that heart that no thorn can penetrate, and know the limitations of the flesh in which we were born with. What do we want to invest in? Do we want to invest in what we know best? That fallen nature? That which we can try to clean up and try to make it something that we can contend with, or be satisfied with, when all along God has that new heart that nothing's going to penetrate. See, what happens sometimes is that we try to make our old nature God's new nature. And we dress it up. We proclaim things that are nothing but fallacy. And we trust and walk in this more than we walk in that new heart that God has given. And eventually, if we walk in the fallen and clean it up to our satisfaction, we'll take our new heart and cast it aside. And then this will be that which we trust in. But to be reminded, the thorns that have found their way into our flesh, it can't overcome the new heart. It cannot penetrate the new heart. The only thing that we can do with this new heart, we can let the thorns that have penetrated the flesh have their will and their way in our flesh, to a point where we no longer trust in what God has invested in us, and we just set it aside. But we pick up and we trust in that which we should die to daily. Again, trust reveals that God's power truly works. Trust in the Spirit of God in us is a statement that, God, I know your power truly works. I trust in you when these thorns have applied themselves to me. Though the pain comes, I still trust and I hope in you, because I know your power works, Lord Jesus. Trust opens the door to God's power to flow in more and more. Why did the pain come? To get us to doubt God. But why did God allow the pain to come? So that we would trust in Him more. So hold on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Our weakness, again, leads us to rely fully on the power of God's Spirit within. Our weakness acknowledges, celebrates our dependency upon God. Again, our weakness acknowledged, celebrates our dependency upon God. God designed us with His power in mind. You know, we have many people in this life that can take that old nature and never worry about needing a new heart. And they can do amazing things. They can create amazing things. They can come across as being some of the most successful people in this world. But no matter how much success we gain from this world, does not complete what God has purposed within us. Again, when God made you, He made you and designed you with His power in mind. Meaning this, what God has formed us to be, it is impossible for us to see it completed without His power. And that is why the world is struggling as it is, because it's denying the need of the new heart. Even within the church, people have come to a place where they don't think they need the new heart anymore. They prefer the heart that is religious and to their comfort. When all along, God says, unless you are born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Our weakness, again, acknowledge, celebrates our dependency upon God. Celebrate the power of God's grace made available to you. Grace that freely fills our lives with power to overcome. Say that with me. Every thorn. Every thorn. Thorns will disguise themselves in ways to justify their goals. And thorns will come and work their will. And as they work their will in the flesh, they justify everything they're doing. Could be like this. It could be a situation where unforgiveness is not applied. And it's day after day after day of rehashing the hurt and the pain and letting it say, well, it was wrong. It should have never been done unto me. So I am going to think about it. I am going to dwell on it. I am going to state my case about it. When God says this, forgive. Forgive. And watch what happens to the placement of this new heart in you. We walk around with unforgiveness in us. Guess what's going to happen to that new heart? Cast aside. And this is the one that we put on. Because they did me wrong. And they're going to know it every day. No longer holding to that new heart. Because what? The flesh says, I can manage it better. How about this? How about we have made some, you know what? Some thorns are self-inflicted. You believe that? They are. And when we know we're the ones who jab the thorn in, God says, you know what? That didn't catch me by surprise. I knew you were going to do that. But I love you. And I forgive you as you have confessed it to me. But Lord, I'm wretched. I'm sinful. I am so evil. I am so wrong. I don't forgive myself. God says, I got a new heart for you. That is guarded against everything that comes against you. But I failed you, God. I trusted in my way, and I failed you. God says, I forgive you. Press on. Put that which is in the past, in the past. Move beyond it. I don't want to move beyond it, God, because I failed you. And God says, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. And that weakness could be the sin that we entered into willfully, fully knowing. And by God's mercy and God's grace, we repented. What are we going to put on? The new heart? Or live in the past with the old? It's our choice. But God reminds us, even when the weaknesses or the thorns were self-inflicted, His love and mercy comes and says, Don't fret. Don't worry. You have my perspective of that action. And now you know that even in that weakness of your failing, I come to perfect my power in you. Do you think God is able to do that? Does he make us a victor over sin? He does, more than conquerors. Grace that freely fills our lives with power to overcome every thorn. And the question to our hearts here today, are you relying on the all-sufficient grace of God that has given you a new heart to manage the thorns of this life? Are you relying on the all-sufficient grace of God to invite God into your weakness and allow his strength to come and establish you in that new heart that is eternal, that no thorn can have victory over? That new heart. God will use these thorns to expand his power within us. God's power will never fail against the thorns of this life. You know, something that comes to my mind is this. Peter was a man that was like, I am faithful to Jesus. I am committed to Jesus. I will not fail Jesus. I will defend him with my life. Do you believe he meant that when he said that? And when they came to take Jesus away to the cross, Peter, again, you know the story very, very well. In his power, he went after their what? The guards that tried to take him, he went after their head with the sword. And by God's mercy, it didn't hit center. It hit the ear and cut the ear. And then the mercy of Christ took the ear and placed it back on that man, and it was healed. But Peter was determined, I will not fail my Lord. And then he said, before that cock crows three times, or before it crows, you're going to deny me three times. I wondered, when you mean it, and you fail, how do you get back up? Because he meant it. He meant that he wouldn't deny Christ, but he did three times. And I believe this with all my heart. God saw there was the fullness of a new heart coming for Peter. Because Jesus gave the gift of the Holy Spirit after he died for our sins. He made our hearts prepared for his Spirit to live within. So if Peter could have been so strong in his ability to stand against whatever came, maybe he would have not operated in that new heart like Christ had intended. So God allowed him to fail him so that he would not trust in his own ability, but he would trust in God. When you read 1 and 2 Peter, you see a changed man. Was he saved when he was walking with Jesus? Yes, he was. But he wasn't baptized with the Holy Spirit yet. Because that didn't happen until Jesus paid our penalty upon the cross. And the day of Pentecost came, and that Spirit, the Spirit of God came and gave that new heart again that would last forever and ever. And Peter knew how to operate in that heart. And I think one way is he was reminded that his strength is not that which you rely on. He was determined and hard-headed and able to be very disciplined, but by mercy and grace, God allowed him to fall so that when he got up, he was going to be stronger than ever. So this day, regardless of what our past is, regardless of our failings, as God has established you to stand up, His grace is sufficient to work the will of His power to perfection through the thorn that came to destroy. But God allowed it so that His purposes and plans would be established within you for all eternity. Walk in the new heart. I'm going to ask, God will use these thorns to expand His power within us. I'm going to ask the ushers if they will distribute the elements of communion today. And as we reflect upon these elements that remind us of what Christ did so the fullness of a new heart could live within us, may we invite God's power to come within us in its perfection, in the fullness of His heart's desire to stand against these thorns that we've experienced in our past, these thorns that we're walking through right now, and even the thorns that await us in the future, that the power of God, the Spirit of God established in our new heart, that we would not surrender to trusting in our strength, but we would invite His power in us in the middle of our weaknesses.